It's Monday, April 23rd, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 759, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, I'm here live as it can be from Jacksonville, Florida. And I tell you, just absolutely beautiful here. Got a lot to share with you, lots of tech to talk tonight. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. Tell me as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, via the Geek News Central Portable Studio. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And you want to get signed up for the newsletter as well by, really, all you got to do is hit the website, sign up for the newsletter. That way you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox, except for last Friday when I forgot to send it. But subscribe to the show as well. You'll find subscribe buttons on the website. And, of course, we want you to check out GNC at all our different distribution points. You can watch the show on the Roku, on the Boxy, on Samsung Smart TV, on Google TV, on either the Tech Podcast or Blueberry app, on either one of those fine devices for your kickback way to watch the show. Of course, if you're listening, hey, that's great just as well. You can consume the show. Well, after all, who wants to watch me from a dingy-lit hotel room here for an hour? But we've left the TriCaster at home. We've got Wirecast fired up on a single camera and recording the show tonight on that. So we'll see how that turns out. We've tried some new settings by basically suggestions for the folks over there at Wirecast when we saw them at NAB. So hopefully we'll see what how this show's recording turns out tonight from on the road. But hope you guys checked out this past Saturday Morning Tech. We basically relaunched and introduced the new Ohanasaurus, our new two-channel Skype system. So we're truly HD now, and we're in the studio in Honolulu when we bring people into the show. So definitely check out this past Saturday Morning Tech. We had Jeffrey Powers from Geekazine.com on, and of course our regular contributor Rob Greenlee as well from RobGreenlee.com, or Rob's, of course, the Zune podcast manager. But hey, we had a great time and talked a lot of tech, talked a lot of technology. I shared in depth the stuff I saw at NAB, much deeper than we went into on Friday's show. But had a great time. I tell you, all this content that I produce and that all of our team produces would not be possible without our great sponsors. And I want to remind you that you can go over to GoDaddy.com and pick up great deals on hosting, domain names, SSL certificates, and a host of other great products and services. And when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget me here, because you can use my promo codes and save an absolute ton of money. Promo code Todd, T-O-D-D, will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale and ComSale2 will get you .coms and .com renewals. Aloha will save you some money. Geek will save you some money. And of course, NAB, which is our special right now, will save you 25% on a fourth generation hosting account. This is absolutely a fantastic way to host a website. TheChromeShow.com is running on the fourth generation hosting. All of our media that we shot at CES and all of our special media that we've been putting up this year is on being hosted by a fourth generation hosting account, delivered simply terabyte after terabyte after terabyte of traffic without any, basically not even batting an eye. So definitely check out that fourth generation hosting. You can find a link, a banner on the website at geekandcentral.com. Just click on that. That'll take you over there. That code, NAB, can be used in conjunction with other ad deals that they've got going on or any specials they've got going on. So definitely double up and save yourself a lot of money on that fourth generation hosting account. All my codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Definitely check that out. Help support the show. Every time you use one of those codes, every time you share the codes with a friend, it really helps us here, helps us do what we do, keep the lights on, keep my family fed, and is greatly appreciated when you do so. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at GNC, at Geek News Central. Well, I tell you, lots of stuff happening here. I flew out Saturday night. Really, the red eye. I flew into Santa Ana. First time I've ever flown United into Santa Ana. They got in late. Literally had to run from one gate to the next, which was just three gates down, so it wasn't like it was a long way. But they were doing last call, jumped on the airplane. Basically, my bags made it. Couldn't believe it. I didn't know how they got them off the other plane and on the other one before it, they pushed away from the gate. But got in here to Jacksonville last night about 8 or 8:30. So had business meetings all day today, and I'll have them all week today. You know, Jack's kind of this weird place. It's got this, I go into certain areas, and my cell coverage just goes, boop, it's just gone. There's a Navy base that is close to the area I'm staying in, I think it's just a black hole. I think you get over near that area, and the signal just goes, shoop. And it just goes down. So I don't know what it is, but different areas too I've seen. It's been really weird. But anyway, so that's just one of the strange things I've noticed about Jacksonville. I love Jacksonville. Been down here a few times. I'll be going to see my daughter in Tampa a little later in the week, spend some time with her. But it's interesting. I haven't been in Florida in quite a while, so it's good to be back. So anyway, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing two shows here in Florida. This show and the Thursday show will be here in Florida. Then I will be back in, flying back to Honolulu on Saturday. And should be, I think, in town for at least 2 weeks to do 2 weeks worth of shows in Honolulu. So looking forward to basically getting this last round of travel. I checked in to Honolulu International when I got back to the airport the other day and said, "You have been in airports 5 weeks in a row." And I'm like, "Really?" So it just tells you how many times. I think I'm up to 60,000 frequent flyer miles already this year. And, you know, it just, it is what it is. But we do what we do, and taking care of business and taking care of our customers and taking care of the consulting space that I do. All right, let's see here. What else is in my stack here? What I'm looking for is if any of the Ohana, and, you know, maybe I'd take just a minute on that. You know, this show, we are now approaching our eighth year of bringing content to you. And I've always said that when I do the show, my goal is to make it so that you can pull up a cup of coffee or you know, just kick back and listen while you're driving to work or wherever it may be. And I really want this to be a conversation between you and I. And I hope to make it as personal as possible, make it a one-on-one type of thing, even though I know thousands of you or tens of thousands of you are listening to the show. So the, you know, the goal here of the show is for everyone to feel like they're part of the family and part of the Ohana. And, you know, you guys send me emails about the show. You guys send me links. You send private comments. You call into the hotline once in a while and leave a note. If you want to do that, it's real easy. 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Of course, you can always email me here at the show, geeknews@gmail.com. But, you know, there's a lot of ways to stay abreast of the show. And I do my best to communicate with you. What's going on, and you basically keep you abreast of things in my life as well. And that's why we spend a little time at the beginning of each show. Unlike a lot of shows that dig right in, I want to take time to basically, you know, just spend some time with you guys at the beginning of each show. And over the years, I've taken a lot of grief from that, but I take comfort in knowing that those of you that are part of the family here enjoy it, and I'm glad to do it. But what I am going to be doing is, you know, every once in a while I reach out. You guys know I'm not real graphically inclined. Technically, I have great vision on what I want, but can never, you know, put it to pen. But we're looking for a new graphic for the Ohanasaurus, something that's going to jazz it up a little bit, and we're in that 16 by 9 motif. The monitors are running true 1920 by 1080, so we're right up HD. So if anyone has any two-screen images or something they want to put together where we can stack them for the new rig, I'd love to see your ideas and your submissions. So if you want to send those to me, you can, and I'll pick the best one and put it up on the Ohanasaurus, as we did last time. So anyway, just want to put that out as a challenge. Also as well, we look forward to all of you that support the show by becoming an insider. If you want to support the show financially with a $2, $5, $10, $20, $25 or one-time donation to the show, we greatly appreciate that as well at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Okay, well, I tell you, we've got a good stack of stuff in the news lineup tonight. And I'm going to get into that here in just a few minutes. But one thing I've been thinking about, and, you know, it sucks because I'm going to be on the road a lot this year. I'm probably going to be spending a lot of time with this rig. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to, because I've repacked my whole travel kit, kind of pared down stuff, and I've got room for a green screen to put in with the packing. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to do a green screen setup so that when I'm on the road, we can have a common background for my travel time. So what do you guys think I should use as a background? And, you know, we can do all kinds of cool stuff. We can do an image of the locality that I'm at. We can, you know, there's all kinds of different things we can do. We could actually set it up so it almost looks like the regular studio that it is in Honolulu, but I think that would be kind of boring, so we should mix it up on the video side. So I'm looking for some ideas on what we can do with the green screen and what we would put behind me for these types of, for this show. So love to hear your input on that as well. Well, let's take care of the last sponsor message and then we'll get into the tech content tonight. And, you know, longtime sponsor here, GoToMeeting, has all been about collaboration. And this is about being able to work together, doing things as a team remotely, and not being in the same room. And, you know, with my team, you know, I've got my programming from Raw Voice. My programming team is in Columbus. Graphics now is in Cincinnati. Have a team member in New York City. We have a team member still in Denver. Tech support is out of Grand Haven, Michigan. We have our lawyer and legal and finance team in Grand Rapids, and of course me out in Hawaii, and then we've got some other folks spread across the country as well. So, you know, we really are a remote group that builds a company and supports a little over 11,000 content creators. So when I am, you know, traveling, when I'm on the road, business cannot stop. It has to continue just as if I'm at home. So when we have colleagues that may be working from home or remote business place, you know, when we try to get everyone together, it's very easy to do with GoToMeeting. And we have a great solution as well with their new GoToMeeting with HD Faces. They can even check in on their iPad or their iPhone and participate in I even had Jeff, one of our team members, on. He was at his doing lunch, and he was eating his lunch while the team, it was our internal team. It wasn't a business, like a real, didn't have to worry about being prim and proper. So he's eating lunch, had his iPad up, running, and, you know, he's listening and talking between mouthfuls. So it was kind of fun. But with HD Faces, you just really, all you need is that webcam to turn your online meeting into a group HD video conference. So definitely check out GoToMeeting. We're going to get you a 30-day free trial. It's real easy. Start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today with GoToMeeting. And again, don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. When you get over there, there's going to be an orange Try It Free button. Click on that and use the promo code PODCAST when you sign up. Again, be sure to use that promo code PODCAST. That gets us credit for your trial. We appreciate all your support and continued support of all our sponsors here at Geek News Central, and we look forward to doing that trial. Okay, so let me make sure I've got everything through my list. I have. And let's go ahead and just close that so we can free up some laptop resources. Did I tell you, I think I already told you that, so I don't need to tell you about the story about recovering a laptop here just recently with my Windows Home server. But Windows Home server comes to the rescue again with saving a second machine of mine and being able to recover it in just a couple of hours. Okay, news out of Iran today. Iran has cut off internet access to their oil refineries following a malware attack. Oh, imagine that. So Iran's Ministry of Oil has cut off internet access to six oil refineries following an apparent cyber attack targeting their networks, and they say they have formed a special crisis committee. And this is kind of funny. They say the attacks are still ongoing. So in other words, their infrastructure has been infected once again. So no notices on whether it's going to affect oil output. For us in the United States, we don't get oil from Iran anyway, but could definitely cause oil to spike if they figure out something else is going on. But it's awfully interesting that all of a sudden Iran, now their nuclear industry was hit by malware, and now their oil industry, you think they would have learned the first time, but, you know, it is interesting that they actually announced that they had been attacked by malware. Well, switching subjects here and onto a more positive topic, I was able to take a look at Adobe's new CS6, and I tell you, what they've done with CS6 is pretty impressive. Not only the Premiere, but the Adobe Edition programs, which I too primarily use. So they've done a lot there with upgrading them, making them easier to use, fixing what I consider some bugs. But they've also announced what they're calling their new CS6 subscription-priced plan, where you, for $50 a month, if you pay a year in advance, you get access to all of the 16 different, all of 14 different Adobe suites. And if you think about that, $600 per year, you know, I'm going to look at the upgrade price or just my two or three products that I have. I'm probably looking at least $400 to upgrade. Considering there's usually an upgrade about every year, $600 is not a lot to pay to have access to everything in their makeup. So they're calling it Creative Cloud. Again, it's priced at $50 per month on a yearly subscription, or $75 a month, month to month. So if you only need stuff for a few months, you can do it that way as well. But it offers the unfettered access to all of 14 Adobe's new CS6 applications. And but you know, this is kind of a follow-on from stuff before with CS 5.5, and so anyway, I saw some pretty cool stuff at NAB on CS6. I think it will be a nice upgrade. So I just kind of weigh the options. If you've already got all 14 apps and you're looking at a single update price, it may not be worth it to do the month. You know, for a 1 year plan, it might be cheaper for you to do an upgrade, but I'm going to be curious to see where it falls. And I haven't looked at the actual pricing on the updates yet, but you know, it's usually never less than $300 to $400 to do an upgrade from one version to the other, depending on the makeup of your package that you have with them. So I've become a big Premiere user ever since the Final Cut mess up by Apple last year. And so have to check it out. But anyway, this might be a good option for those of you that are looking for an encompassing package by Adobe. There's some interesting things going on in the Senate this week. The Senate is investigating video competition during a hearing tomorrow. And it's basically taken some inputs from some groups already, and I had not heard about this. But essentially, the testimony questions that have been asked by some of the public interest groups are basically to ask the cable companies how they can, like, for example, Comcast began offering the internet-enabled streaming services through Microsoft Xbox. And basically, if they were using that service, it didn't go against their 250 gig per month cap. Well, at the same time, the folks at Netflix has fired out today during their earnings call saying, hey, this is anti-competition, unfair advantage by Comcast. They're using bandwidth caps as a way to stifle a business, and it's being unfair to us. So it is a good question to be asked. Here you have Comcast that's offering streaming services that they say they're not going to be charging against your bandwidth cap, yet it's direct competition with the services out there. So some net neutrality stuff going on here. And so we'll see where this goes. So the if the Senate asks the questions that groups like Public Knowledge, Free Press, the New America Foundation, Consumer Union, and so forth have asked them to ask these companies, if they ask these tough questions, maybe we'll start to get some relief at some point in the future, or Congress will come in and smack these companies up for being anti-competitive and messing with net neutrality. I don't know if they're that smart enough to do that, but time will tell. And we've talked about caps a great deal here. You guys know my position on this. You know that I feel caps stifle innovation. You know, being a content creator, I'm putting content out there for you guys to consume. Those of you that are actually watching every one of my videos, if you are watching each of my videos that I put out, you know, I could put just my show alone on a monthly basis, the 12 video programs we put out, or actually even more than that, with the Gadget Professor, and of course with Robot Underpants, you guys could probably just soak up 15 to 20 gigs a month just consuming all of our content. So considering all of you have a 250 gig, at least on Comcast, have that limit, you know, it's pretty hard to say, Todd, I'm going to dedicate 6 or 7% of my bandwidth each month to your content, and you guys may not opt to consume all of our content, which in turn lowers the amount of traffic we get to our content, lowers the number of advertising hits and so forth, which, you know, ultimately affects me negatively. So, you know, as we move forward and all of us are using more bandwidth, we're watching HD stuff on our internet connections, these caps are going to continue to crop up and are going to become an issue. So we will see where this goes, but I'm just, you know, maybe it won't do anything. You know, maybe Congress will be ineffective with dealing with the cable providers, but at least the question is being asked, and companies like Netflix are saying, hey, you know, there's nothing neutral about caps, and that's the truth there. All right, let's talk about Firefox. Firefox has got a big update coming. Firefox will ship Firefox 12 tomorrow with a key component that's been basically in most modern browsers, including Chrome, for a long time. The most notable change to Firefox 12 for Windows users will be the disappearance of the user account control. This will be for Vista and Windows 7 users. Essentially, what's going to happen now is Firefox 12 is going to be the first edition that is sidesteps UAC. And UAC, essentially what that is it makes things like automated software updates hard to do without you clicking a button. Most of you don't know this, but Chrome has been updating for years all by itself. You don't even know a new version has been loaded on your machine. It just kind of happens. You have to actually go into Chrome and turn that feature off. Well, if the new version of Firefox will be the same way, you're just going to get the new version without a lot of pressing a button. It's just going to load, and you probably will be, it'll be transparent to you. You know, the only time it'll become non-transparent is when a plugin or something quits working. So if you've got critical applications that are you're running on Firefox, you may want to basically shut that automatic update feature off so that you aren't impacted from your business standpoint if all of a sudden one of your plugins quit working on Firefox. But Firefox 12, you know, what are we going to start? What's going to happen in 50 years when we're up to Firefox 1082? They're going to have to come up with a new naming sequence. Today, the folks over at Dropbox, they just put a target right center of their forehead. They have added link file sharing. And essentially, this is just like what MegUpload got in trouble for. So, you know, this target they painted on their back or on their forehead or on their arm or across the heart, wherever it is essentially, to me, seems to be very, very risky. We know that MegUpload was shut down for copyright infringement, among other things. But it's largely because they allowed this link farm. And now with Dropbox, interesting what they're calling simple fast sharing, where you can publicly post a link to a file and people just be able to go out and grab it. But maybe Dropbox has a better system. Maybe they have an ability to block files are uploaded that are infringing copyright. But you know, that's going to be tough, you know, because people are pretty sneaky out there in what they do, and it's just going to make people easier. It's going to make folks. It's going to make it easier to share copyrighted content. But at the same time, for those that are using that service for a legitimate purpose, it's going to make it easier to use the service. If you just, you know, upload something, you got to share it with a couple of business associates. You know, that's what I use Dropbox for. We share proposals and different things on there, and it makes it easy to share. But with this, you know, this single linking, it's not going to be complicated. But maybe Dropbox thinks they're big enough that they can fight off the big boys. And maybe they got enough money in the bank to say if they have a legal challenge by the RIAA, MPAA, that they can fight them. Now, Dropbox was estimated to generate at least $240 million in 2011, and the large part of its revenue comes from premium accounts offering additional storage. I pay for additional storage. I have a Dropbox account, a pro account. So we will see where this goes. But This is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch, and we'll watch the hacker networks and start seeing if Dropbox starts popping up as being a default destination for stuff. Okay, let me go ahead and switch gears here. On the Jeffrey Powers and I did a roundtable on Saturday. We talked about live stream and WeVideo. I talked about WeVideo on my show on Friday, but I want to just let you know, Jeffrey did a demo of WeVideo, and he basically edited some video right online when we were doing the GoToMeeting session, and it was pretty slick, and he did it right on the fly. He shows you how easy it is to use, and I also talk about the new live stream broadcaster in more detail. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You guys can check that out if you want to. Hey, a little space news for you. A Progress spacecraft carrying 2.8 tons of supplies docked at the International Space Station on schedule Sunday morning. So this is the M15M spacecraft, designated Progress 47 by NASA. So they, of course, going to unload that thing, and then they'll start filling it full of trash. And you know, up comes clean stuff, and down goes, you know, dirty clothes and everything else that they want to get rid of, and the garbage. But the previous spacecraft already left the station, and will be deorbited here in the next couple of days, I believe. But news on that. Also, the Europeans have lost a Earth observation satellite called Enviasat, and it stopped communicating with ground controllers nearly 2 weeks ago. There was some images being shot by some other, actually they requested assistance by other satellites in the area, and there was actually an image of it taken, and they've been trying to figure out what orbit's in, if it's actually the solar rays are pointed at the sun. But they are hoping to get the satellite back up. It already has exceeded its initial 5-year lifespan that they thought it would last, and they wanted to be able to keep it up until 2013. This aircraft is responsible for doing a lot of high-resolution imagery commercial of the Earth. And so anyway, they did not have a replacement going to be sent to orbit until 2013. So if they can't get this bad boy running, they obviously will have some more space junk up there. But when satellites go down, it's not like you can call the Maytag repairman and sending them up to do a repair. It's that multi-million-dollar hardware is essentially stuck in orbit. Well, you guys know that I have been heavily involved in the advertising space in new media here really since mid-2005. Both audio and video have done a lot of podcast advertising deals. We've got some, you know, those sponsors right here on this show. Some have been very long-time sponsors and really very good to us. But we're, you know, I'm starting to spread out and look at more opportunities and talk about different ways. And everyone wants to sell me pre-roll advertising. And it really leaves a bad taste in my mouth when you have to watch a pre-programmed, non-relational video from, you know, 15 to 30 seconds before you would watch the main video of the show. And it doesn't pay that great. So, you know, we've always said that the in-show advertising is the model that we feel is the best model, and it relates, and I can share more details, and it can be more personal with you guys. So the folks at CNET have got an article today, and I kind of laughed out loud when I read this. It says, "For digital, video to live, the 30-second pre-roll ad must die." And it goes on to say that they've got a fix for this video advertising and how to make online video profitable for everyone. And so I'm thinking, okay, they've got the new secret. They're going to tell us what we're going to be able to do as content creators to make you guys engaged and make you respond to ad deals and so that we can, build our content, to build our businesses and keep this great content coming. So, it goes into this, why the 30-second pre-roll is horrible. And we all think it sucks. We all hate watching that. And maybe you guys don't like watching the advertising in the show either. But it gets down to, a page and a half of content here. And it talks about the model that I've been using since 2005 is that we need to put the content, the advertising content in the show. There needs to be more placement. Like if I hold up this water bottle that I have and show you the label, that's a form of, advertising, even though they're not advertising with the show. So, we can do, product placement. I don't think product placement is good. If I told you that I'm drinking, this specific water and it tastes real good, you guys might go out and buy it. But it's water, right? But we can, I think, what we've done is what we've proven time and time again in performance and everything is that the ads and the content is going to change. And it's probably not what you're going to see in professional done video by big companies. It may be more obscure and maybe not as announced and not as revealed. And I get real creepy about thinking that we're going to try to sell something in a video to you that isn't disclosed. And there's FCC stuff that goes along with that. What they do in television and movies now is when they do a product placement, at the end of the movie, all the product placements are actually shown in the closes. But no one watches those the credits at the end. So there's some competitions going on right now aimed at innovating on digital formats. So what do you guys think would work better? I'd love to hear you guys' feedback because you guys have been long-time listeners of this show. You hear my spin on these ads. You hear me talking about the product. And what do you guys think? Where do you guys think it should go? What would be acceptable to you? I know no ads is the best ads, but unless we could generate a significant revenue stream from contributions, the advertising basically will not be able to go away. And it would have to be very significant numbers. And, basically I'd have to be able to earn enough to hire myself from user contributions. So I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on where you think the advertising should go, what you think about advertising in the show. Now, some of this stuff, if you guys want to just send it privately, you can. I'd be most appreciative if you just comment. And I know people always say more variety. Well, the problem is there's not a lot of companies still advertising in this space that I'm here right now. And we would think we're already 8 years going on doing content that more companies would have woke up and smelled the roses. And some have, but they're not just consistent enough. We've had some great sponsors in the past. They were really happy with the ad buy. And they would say, we had great performance. And they say, okay, let's spend some more money. And they're like, well, we didn't have it budgeted. We'll do another buy next year. And you're like, oh my gosh, you had great performance, but you burned your entire budget on this space in a 90-day period. Let's spread that out over a bigger budget the following year. And it can become it's a huge challenge for us, but look forward to hearing if you guys have any thoughts on this whole process on advertising within content like this, and both on the audio and on the video side. All right, let's go ahead and switch here to an article on, it's basically building Windows 8. This is an MSDN blog talking about cloud storage for Windows available anywhere with their new SkyDrive. So, Microsoft has been planning to have a way to connect your apps, files, and PC and devices to cloud. And of course, with SkyDrive in Windows 8, this is what they're basically announcing. It's a preview available now. It allows you to view and manage your personal SkyDrive directly from Windows Explorer on Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows Vista. And also with this new preview app, it's available in 106 languages worldwide. You can fetch files through SkyDrive, easy access, browse, and stream files from a remote PC, running the preview app to just about anywhere by simply fetching them. There is a more flexible approach to personal cloud storage. It allows power users to get additional paid storage as their needs grow. And so anyway, they've updated the SkyDrive apps on both the Windows Phone and on iOS devices, which is going to allow better management features and sharing options for those devices. And there's also a new preview client for Mac OS X as well, letting you manage your SkyDrive right from your Finder. So it looks like the app is free. Storage, I don't see what the pricing is, but I assume a certain amount is free. And they got a full, 7 gigs free for all new SkyDrive users. And they say, we chose 7 gigs as it provides enough space for 99% of the people to store their entire Office document library and share folders, photos for several years. 7 gigs a year for photo? No, I think we shoot about 20 to 25 gigs of photos a year. You can upload large files as large as 2 gig to a folder, and they have paid storage plans at 20, 50, and 100 gigs with at price plans of 10, 25, and 50. So that's interesting. You're paying about 50 cents a gig for storage per year. And, of course, it works with Windows Phone. So this is a great review. So another cloud storage offering. This one, of course, by the folks at Microsoft. Well, there's a write-up on TechCrunch. It says, frustration, disappointment, and apathy, my years at Microsoft. Now, I really don't understand why someone who has been employed with an employer for as much as, this guy's 5 years, and he talks about how he's such a fan of the company, yet he writes this wanking, snob, crybaby piece about how he didn't like to go to meetings, how he didn't like to go to conferences, how he didn't like to go to planning stuff. He goes on and on about meetings and where your calendar has to be decorated with sufficient colorful blocks to signal overactivity and planning meetings and promotion meetings and deep think tank meetings and all that stuff. Don't you realize that having meetings within companies often is a big team building thing? You can share what you're doing. You can talk about ideas. You can collaborate. It's better than being stuck in the cubicle, right? Because I'm sure most people that work at Microsoft are working in cubicles, and that's just like, oh my God, if I had to work in a cubicle, I wouldn't last a week. So, he had been worn out by HR, and here's the thing, he's writing about all his things that he didn't like about Microsoft, but he doesn't say anything that he did. He didn't, he talked about how he got a single $1,000 bonus, and I think a $1,000 bonus would be a pretty small bonus at Microsoft. You would think that if you are a performer over there, you would definitely make a lot more in a bonus than $1,000. But, talk about a one-time bonus he got. If you're a hard worker, you're a stroker, you do what your job is, you go in and be a leader, you can work anywhere, any place, anytime. And he talks about getting fired, and he does talk about some of his shortfalls. But at the same time, if you're, how you change a system is you work hard and you get promoted. And when you work hard and you get promoted, then you can implement your ideas. We're always going to work for people we don't like. We're going to do things sometimes we don't want to do. But what you do is you learn from that. And then as you, you progress up the ladder, then you make changes within the organization that you're at. And you angle stuff. And, it just kills me. He must be very young. I bet he's a Gen Xer. And I don't get it. I really don't. People aren't willing to do their time, aren't willing to do what they're told. Going to save the world. And you got to understand, Microsoft is just a huge company. So there's going to be certain things in a huge company that you're just not going to like to begin with. If you're part of a small company, you can come in as an employee and say, hey, boss, I don't like this. Let's change it. Or here's an idea I have. And the boss can take that on whether he likes it or not and implement whether he wants to or not. But when you're part of a huge organization like Microsoft, and this is, we all know that big companies like this have these issues. So, he writes this sob story on TechCrunch. And I would not hire this guy, Mac Zaccardis. You're going to put something out like this? You're thinking to yourself, okay, you hire this guy. And 3 years later, he's pissed at you've told him he has to work overtime or something. And then he goes off and he writes a wine piece like this. And you're going to say, I should have known better. He did this before. HR departments and people that are hiring, they're Googling people's names or checking them out on Twitter and Facebook. And here this guy writes this piece on TechCrunch. What an idiot, in my opinion. He got fired, so now he's going to go cry to TechCrunch. Of course, TechCrunch is like, yeah, we want a juicy piece like this because it's going to have a lot of traffic. We're going to get, it's got 77 comments, 514 likes, 985 tweets, 216 LinkedIn shares, 136 Google Plus ones. And, this guy's going to, I bet you search his name now. He comes right to the top of the search list. Let me try it right now. I'll copy his name here. Control C. We'll open up. Actually, I do it right in this window. Control V. Hit paste and search. Boom! Right there he is. He's right at the top of the because he's got a weird name, so he's going to be right at the top of the search results. And TechCrunch. Boom! Right there at top. Does he not know that he is now going to be very unemployable? I don't get it. Does anyone else agree with me on this? Is this guy like, who would hire him? I wouldn't. You get fired. You take your licks. You learn about what you did. You suck it up. You go apply for another job. During that job interview, you're going to say, I got fired because I got complacent. I wasn't doing meetings. I know I screwed up. I was there too long. He's going to have to answer all these questions in job interviews on why he got fired. If HR has sent him multiple warnings, you're like, I'm going to leave quietly. You're not going to wait till you get fired. But they actually offered him 12 weeks worth of severance pay. And they offered him to let him go quietly. And he didn't. So, and he sent this blast to some vice president, and boom, he was gone. Security showed up and escorted him to the door. I just don't get it. I don't. I really don't. And the economy's, I'm sure he'll probably get a job. If he's a programmer, he's probably going to, find something. But I don't think I'd hire him if he come knocking for a job. I just don't think so. I don't know. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback. GeekNews@gmail.com or the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. All right, let's switch topics here. New startup. And I tell you, there's people gunning for the major media folks in a big way. And this company here is really looking to ramp it up. So in a move here that could pace in the slow pace of so-called TV everywhere, this new startup called Nimble TV is beginning to test a new service with a limited number of test users. The service takes a package of television channels that a customer buys for a distributor like Dish, then streams the package onto the web, allowing the customer more options for viewing than most distributors now allow. It also allows for thousands of hour TV recording via a virtual digital video recorder. So this is an interesting thing here. Now, this basically, this product picks up where Slingbox really has left off. And, you know, when a Slingbox device hooked to a TV set, users can log in on a computer from anywhere and view whatever's live on their DVR at home. And we know that Slingbox has been semi-successful, but Nimble TV say they has the same functionality as a Slingbox and DVR, but without the actual boxes. So I'm thinking, okay, no box. How does that work? They're limiting their test phase to New York City. And it's set at 26 channels the company will pay for. And there it is some software driven, so there is some way of software package. But this is, I just wonder what's going to happen, how these folks are going to be able to do this. They say that Nimble TV went to extreme lengths to comply with law changing strategies 5 or 6 times along the way. And saying that they know that the customers would still be paying for cable or satellite service. He said Nimble TV's role was act as an agent, paying the monthly service bill for the user and providing software for streaming. Interesting. So we'll see how this fully works. I definitely want to see how this is going to actually be packaged up. And how it's actually going to work. And they're saying they're just trying to have a good user experience. No word on what the cable companies are seeing, but we probably will see this one back in court. But Nimble TV, for those of you in the New York City area, which I know we have a vast audience there, give it a try and see if you can get on the beta and let me know how it worked out. All right, today Facebook announced a patent agreement with Microsoft. So remember those patents that Microsoft just bought from AOL? Well, Microsoft and Facebook announced that they have a definitive agreement under which Microsoft will sign Facebook the right to purchase a portion of the patent portfolio it recently agreed to acquire from AOL. Facebook agreed to purchase this portion for $550 million in cash. So if you remember, in the initial AOL auction, Microsoft secured about 925 U.S. patents. Plus a license to AOL's remaining patent portfolio, which contains 300 additional patents. So as a result of the agreement today, Facebook will obtain ownership of approximately 650 patents and patent applications, plus a license to the AOL patents and the applications that Microsoft will purchase and own. So upon the closing of this transaction, Facebook, Microsoft will retain ownership of approximately 275 AOL patents, an application, and a license. So this is smart. I bought it, sold it. Now they're going to have a license to approximately 650 AOL patents and applications that will now be owned by Facebook. And they're going to license approximately 300 that AOL did not sell in its auction. So they just got $500 million back from Facebook. What a slick deal. So I think Microsoft paid $1.5 billion. What was the number that they paid? So definitely some card shuffling going here on patent stuff. But the relationship that Facebook has had with Microsoft is paying off in a big, big way. So a little bit of reaction on the street. But so far, nothing negative being said. But definitely some shell game stuff. Definitely a slick move. All right, Netflix quarter one results: 3 million new new streaming subscribers worldwide, and they had record viewing hours. Apparently, the analysts, the folks that are out there investing, did not necessarily like what they heard, even though they're seeing gains. But it's amazing that they had 3 million. New customers, and the stock market still wasn't pleased. Well, we'll have to see how they do. They definitely need to beef up their library. Their library is starting to slide. All right, Boeing 787 Dreamliner begins first U.S. passenger flights. Japan Airlines is starting to fly routes from Japan. The first 787 arrived at Boston Logan International. And so I cannot wait. United's buying a bunch of these 787s. I really want to fly in one of these, but they flew this 787 nonstop between Tokyo and Boston. That's a remarkably long flight, but I heard it's remarkably comfortable. Now, for business and first, I'm sure. I don't know how the rest of the airplane was set up for coach, if there was more room, but definitely the Tokyo-Boston route, an example of a route that Boeing had in mind when it built the 787. It was, you know, designed to directly compete with the A380, the Airbus 380. So this is a 12 to 13 hour flight. Not bad, considering. And that's just a huge, huge haul. So Boeing has delivered 9 of the Dreamliners so far, with more than 850 currently on order. And all the 787 so far, I believe thus far, have went to Japan. So we'll start seeing these things at airports relatively soon as they start cranking them up. All right, Facebook amended its S-1. In other words, they're not a public company yet. They think they're going to do their IPO on May 17th. But they said 901 million users, 500 million mobile. They paid $300 million in cash and 23 million shares for Instagram. What else did they did? Facebook also made $1.058 billion in revenue for the first quarter of 2012, up 44.7% from Q1 of 2012, but down 6.5% from Q4 2011. Basically, that Facebook maintains its current revenue rate. It would make between $4.69 and $4.41 on each of its 901 million users each year. So about $5 a piece. That ain't bad, yeah. So just got to grow more users, right? Anyway, that was part of their S-1. And but again, 3.2 billion likes and comments per day, 125 billion friendships, 300 million photos uploaded per day. That's a remarkable number. So that's what's going on with Facebook prior to their public IPO. All right, current status of the browser wars, essentially what's going on in North America. And what we're seeing is that Internet Explorer still has 40.4% of the market share. Chrome is now number two at 24.1%, with Firefox at 21%. If you look at Europe, Firefox is on top. If you look at Asia, Chrome is on top. If you look at Africa, Firefox and Chrome is on top. South America, Chrome is on top. So Internet Explorer is only number one in North America and what they consider Oceania, which would be Australia, New Zealand, that area. So, you know, big, big market shares by the three of those. In North America, you know, Safari, surprisingly, has as much as 12.7% use. Opera, less than a percent. But version control, IE9, is king, with Chrome 18 out there. You don't even know what version of Chrome most of us are running. IE8, and then Firefox 11. So anyway, that's how the browser wars stack up. There's also a new startup called Vidi. It's a video sharing. Sorry here. I didn't even take a breath between one article to the next. Vidi is a video sharing app. And they've gotten some interesting backers here. This application, which is currently available only for the iPhone, lets users upload short 15-second videos. You can add special effects like filters and music and then publish them through the app to share with friends. So if you want to do some quick video clips, this is a way to do it. And Vidi's been around for about a year. They got about 10 million users, but with another 300,000 signing up each day. They did get a boost with some new financial backers, largely from the entertainment industry. Some well-known names in the entertainment space, Shakira, Roc Nation, Jay-Z, invested in Vidi. So it's probably one of the reasons why they're getting some press today on the New York Times. Those folks as agents were working overtime and getting this promoted. But anyway, check out Vidi if you haven't already. All right, over on ubergizmo.com, you got a phone that you want to unlock? Well, there's a new software that can do this. Any phone, including Apple's latest installment, is the iPhone 4S, can now be SIM unlocked in 13 simple steps. So there's a procedure which was discovered by a mobile hacker, and it will effectively allow iPhone owners to use a SIM card from any compatible carrier rather than a carrier which the phone was purchased. So, you know, you may have some, you may have to jailbreak this to make it happen. But if you want to jailbreak your car, your phone, you can basically unlock it with some additional software. So a link will be up in the show notes on that. There is a super geeky, cool video here, and I'm going to link to it. It's over at another article at ubergizmo.com. And 8 floppy drives play the James Bond theme song. And so some guys from Purdue, I guess, put this together. And this is not going to disappoint you. They used some 8-year-old outdated floppy disk drives. And they did a really awesome job. And it's about a minute video. I'll have a link up in the show notes. It's definitely one that you wanted. The geeks out there will want to check this out. A lot of work went into this. And say bravo to the team that that did it. All right, you guys all know that I'm a retired Navy. I spent 24 years in the Navy, spent time in combat zone, largely above the combat zone and flying. But there's some good news that the Army, and the only reason I bring this up is many of you have family members that have served. PTSD is a big issue, folks, and PTSD affects people in different ways. But it's something that affects folks that have been in combat zones, and sometimes it doesn't become readily apparent immediately. Sometimes it can come out years later. Even when I retired and was basically put through the initial typical PTSD screening, it's, you know, basically the VA, you know, leaves your thing checked and to a point where it's unknown whether you're going to have future issues. But in a big reversal here, the Army has issued a stern new set of guidelines to doctors tasked with diagnosing post-traumatic stress disorder among returning soldiers. They've said stop spending so much time trying to spot patients who are faking symptoms. The new guidelines instruct chances are they're actually ailing. And we've been at this war on terror, you know, for a long time now. And you've got guys that have done multiple deployments in the field. You know, some of these guys are 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th deployments. So if you have a family member, and just, you know, I'm just saying this because I have a lot of exposure in Hawaii to military guys that have done multiple tours, guardsmen, you name it. If you've had a friend or a family member that has is acting funny, is stressed out, having bad dreams. There's a whole host of things that could be manifested as PTSD, and they basically haven't got any good response from the VA or from the Army or whatever service they're in. It's a good time to suggest to them, go back and see the doc. And it's better than suffering, and a lot of these guys have trouble for many years. So I'm glad to see that the Army has done this. I, you know, don't normally bring this up in the tech show, but I thought it was very important, having, you know, the military heritage that I've had, to talk about this a little bit. Now, this is an article that I actually found on Wired, and I applaud Wired for bringing this up. And even though it was in a tech mag, I wouldn't have caught it otherwise, but this is a big deal. And because what happens is, and this is the reason why probably most of the Army doctors have been trying to stop to detect fakers, is that PTSD can end up being a medical disability, and the guys can get a percentage of disability for being diagnosed with PTSD. But it opens up the VA hospitals and the psychiatric stuff, and, you know, for guys that have gotten out. And it's, you know, they've probably tried to be real careful because that can be a very high escalating cost. And, you know, it sucks to think that they, you know, would deny someone because they think they're faking when they could actually have PTSD. And I'm sure there's a certain amount of that. But believe me, the guys that I've known for many years, I've known a few folks with PTSD, they would rather not have the symptoms that they have and the issues that go along with it. So, you know, if you've got a service member in your family, or if you are a service member and you've been denied, you maybe try to go talk to them again and see what happens. And I'm glad to see the Army doing this. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for those of you looking for more info. All right, I'm going to wrap this show up tonight with the last article. This is an article over on Ogizmo. And you ever had a power plug where you had one, two, three, four plugs plug in perfectly, and that fifth one you couldn't get in because it was weird and it wouldn't fit in the hole because there was other plugs that were messing up? Well, if you have a transformer that's causing an issue, there is a plug power dongle that were available for $5 that makes the short little jump to help you get a transformer plugged in off a power strip. So I have this link up in the show notes. This is probably one of the most smart products out there. I probably ordered 10 of these. Really, it's a really smart idea, and it's even on a little swivel, so that even works even nicer. Have a link up on the show notes for you to check it out. But that's the last tech article for tonight. Let me go ahead here and open up email, see if we had anything come in. Don't think we had too many emails come in from the last show because I had basically done the show on Friday, which was, you know, kind of a weird day for the show to come out. And let me look here what I've got. See here, today is the 23rd. Would have been on the 19th. Yeah, I don't think we had an email come in from last show. And again, I apologize that there was no show on Thursday last week, but we're going to try to really stay on schedule here on out. But if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline again is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I want to thank all of you. If you've been chatting online, I apologize. I have not been following the chat commentary. Can't do three, four things at one time, but email me here. Email your chat comments at geeknews@gmail.com. And again, follow me on Twitter at geeknews. We'll see you here Thursday again for another show on the road from Jacksonville, Florida. Until then, everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.